Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Stock market down 540 points as we see upward pressure in yields, really putting downward pressure on stocks and asset prices that are interest rate sensitive. More specifically, the types of stocks that are really sensitive to interest rate, those high-flying growth stocks and tech stocks. So let's get into it right now. From CNBC, Dow drops 540 points, NASDAQ down 2.6%. So this is where you really see the discrepancy and kind of the rotation from these high-flying tech stocks into the more value-oriented stocks. But although we see a rotation, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Dow is not going down while the NASDAQ is. It's just the Dow is going down at a lower or slower rate. I think that's the best way to say it. So if my, before we get to this story, let's look at markets. You guys can see what I'm talking about. So we got S&P 500 down 1.8%, NASDAQ down 2.6. That's basically what I was trying to articulate and not doing a very good job at it. that's what I'm trying to see. We see a rotation, but the value stocks still down as well in aggregate total. If you want to use an S&P 500 as a proxy on all value stocks, I don't know I'd go that far, but you guys see what's happening. And you should expect this to continue if interest rates continue to rise, especially on the 10-year, or the yields continue to go up. So let's get back to the nitty-gritty article. We've got the major averages fell sharply Tuesday as government bond yields hit COVID-era highs and Goldman Sachs reported disappointing earnings. The Dow Jones Industrial Average slipped 543 points or 1.5% to close. The NASDAQ down 2.6%, S&P down 1.8%, like we said earlier. The tech-focused NASDAQ sits more than 10% from its most recent highs and closed below its 200-day moving average for the first time since April 2020. Benchmark Russell 2000 slid 3.1%. So really, I mean, just from a 30,000-foot macro view, we say, okay, the Fed's accommodation, QE, if you want to call it that, is decreasing. They're tapering. They're jawboning the market as if they're going to increase interest rates. The 10-year treasury, the long end of the curve, is seemingly going up as a result of them jawboning. Now, it could be a variety of different factors, who knows? And this could just be noise. But as of right now, there seems to be a strong correlation between the Fed saying they're going to raise rates and the long end of the curve actually going up. Now, what's interesting is if you look back before quantitative easing, going to, let's say, January or December, well, not really the month, just the year. If you go back to 2007, 2008, you'll notice that once we started QE at the end of 2008 into 2009, the intention of quantitative easing was to actually bring down interest rates, especially at the long end of the curve. But you'll notice that if you look at the Fed's balance sheet, it actually does the opposite. And again, is that a causal effect or correlation? I don't know. I have no clue. But I do know that there is a strong correlation between, or an inverse correlation between the, I guess that would be a correlation, would not be inverse, because the Fed's balance sheet goes up, interest rates go up. You would expect an inverse correlation where the Fed's balance sheet goes up and interest rates go down, yields on the 10-year and 30-year, but that's not what we have seen in the past. So will we see that in the future once the Fed starts to actually raise rates, or once the Fed starts to reduce the size of its balance sheet? I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. So let's see what's going on. Okay, going down the story, the technology-focused NASDAQ sits more than 10% from its most recent high and close below 200-day moving average. Okay, so we got that. So that's really the NASDAQ and these high-flying tech stocks acknowledging that if rates are going to continue to rise, which the probability seems higher and higher, that they are going to go down. Why? Because you're just basically buying future earnings. And the probability is those earnings go down if interest rates go up, because the cost structure for the borrowing costs, as an example, for these tech stocks goes up, therefore their profits go down. And this is one of the main drivers of this rotation that you usually see. So Goldman Sachs shares dropped 7%. Goldman operating expenses surged 23%. The reason I wanted to highlight this, not necessarily because any of you care about Goldman Sachs, maybe some of you do, but it's really to illustrate what will be happening and or is happening to a lot of businesses, even small and mid-sized businesses, where their margins are really being squeezed by inflation, their input costs. And a lot of you that have been paying attention will probably push back and say, well, George, that's not really the case because we see corporate profits at all-time highs. Okay, well, first and foremost, there's a lag there. Secondly, you're looking at these huge mega corporations. So should we expect anything else, or should you expect anything else when the government comes in and wipes out hundreds of thousands of small and mid-sized businesses? And therefore, who gets the demand? Who gets those customers? It would be the people that are still in business, and that would be the mega corporations. And so So it's not surprising that their profits have gone parabolic. Does that mean that they'll continue to go parabolic? I don't think so. They'll most likely start going back down. And this is definitely affecting the mom and pop shop on the corner. Now, what could change that? Well, if we get another round of stimulus, if we get UBI, if we get more government deficit spending, that could be a game changer, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. As we've said many times on this channel, we have to answer economic questions by answering political questions first and foremost. So rates rose along the yield curve with the benchmark 10-year note topping 1.87%, the highest since January 2020. So the 10-year yield started 2022, so what, 17 days ago, at 1.5%. So it's gone up 0.37% over the last 2 weeks. That's a big move. That's the market saying, hey, we believe that the Fed is actually going to raise rates. Now, again, will this increase at the long end of the curve keep pace with the short end as the Fed's raising? I don't know. For that, you're really going to have to pay attention to the yield curve itself and look at the 10-year compared to the 2-year, or Snyder, I know, always looks at the 5-year compared to the 2-year. But you have to see if that curve's flattening out. So if the Fed is raising rates, the short end's coming up, then if it's flattening out, that tells you that the long end isn't going up at the same pace. And the closer this line, if you can see my pointer, gets down to this level, the higher the probability we go into a recession.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
When's the last time it did it? Right here in 2019, August. And what did we have? Call it a few months later, we had the Cervasa sickness. And if you go back throughout decades and decades and decades, you see the same thing happen over and over and over again when there is an inversion in the yield curve. But it doesn't necessarily have to invert. The fact that it's flattening indicates that there's a higher probability that we see a recession sometime very soon. So going back to the data points, the bond market continued to price in more aggressive Fed policy tightening based on still high inflation numbers, the Fed's more hawkish guidance. A fairly aggressive Fed tightening path will lead to somewhat lower valuations as economy-wide growth should slow as the Fed tries to soften the pace of the pandemic or the pace of demand. So that's another reason here. So their borrowing costs go up, these corporations. Their demand for their products most likely goes down because this pinches people's purchasing power, the increase in interest rates. And if asset prices go down, that would be like a triple whammy to corporate profits. So these are some of the reasons why those high flying growth stocks, tech stocks, could continue to be under enormous pressure in the future if, and that is a big if, the Fed actually starts to raise interest rates once they get done tapering. So Tesla dropped 1.8%, Meta platforms. So the Betaverse and all those beta soy dudes at Facebook, their stock fell by 4.1% and Amazon down by 2%. So I think what's interesting is the major banks, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, kicked off earnings season Friday with the three companies posting better than expected profits. However, the market's reaction to these results was mixed. You know, you can sit there and say, well, maybe the yield curve steepens, maybe the long end goes up. While although it's flattening now, it did steepen compared to August of 2019, and therefore higher profits for the banks because they're borrowing short, lending long. I don't know that that's really a thing anymore because lending, retail lending, is just such a small percentage of their overall profits. And I don't know this. I haven't looked at their profit and loss or their financials, but I know that the majority of their lending is going to be home lending for these retail banks, and they don't keep the paper. They're just a middleman. They're just, they get paid a fee for executing the loan. It's almost like they get, they're like a lead generator for Fannie and Freddie. The banks is what I'm referring to. So they just get paid for every lead they bring in, but the debt doesn't live on the balance sheet of the bank. It goes right over to Fannie and Freddie. And then who knows who ends up holding the bag on those mortgages. But I think they're getting the same type of spread regardless. Now, I think it's going to be a huge windfall for the banks when or if the Fed raises rates, because the banks themselves aren't going to have to increase the rate at which they pay depositors because the whole system is flushed with the reserves. So there's not going to be that competition for deposits like there was in the past prior to the GFC, prior to QE, prior to IOR, which is interest on reserves. So that's what I think will really be a windfall as far as profit for the big banks, is if the Fed gets rates up to 1%, 2%, then they're being paid a crazy amount of money just for nothing, just to park their reserves at the Fed. We'll have to see how that plays out. And I've talked to Joseph Wang about this, and he thinks that that could actually increase the rate of inflation because the banks will take the additional profits. They'll buy treasuries. If there's still this issue with the debt ceiling, then Janet Yellen's not able to issue as many treasuries as she would like. Therefore, if there's high demand for the treasuries, the banks go into the private sector. When a bank buys a treasury from a non-bank entity, that actually creates additional money supply that didn't exist before. So that's Joseph Wang's theory, is that if interest rates go up, that means more profits. More profits means more demand for treasuries. More demand for treasuries means more money or dollars chasing goods and services in the real economy. It's an interesting concept, and it definitely will happen to a certain degree. The question is, will that cross current be bigger or smaller than the other cross current, the opposite cross current of higher interest rates creating potentially fewer dollars, and the higher interest rates creating less purchasing power? Maybe that's a better way to say it. So those are really the two cross currents, is you got more dollars potentially by banks buying treasuries, but you have less purchasing power by interest rates themselves going up in the broad economy. So that's another thing that we're really going to have to pay attention to moving forward. All right. So key takeaways, guys, stocks down, NASDAQ down even further, yields up on the treasury, the yield curve flattening slightly. This means that the markets, I think, is saying that if the Fed continues on their path, if they do actually raise rates, and if they go to quantitative tightening, although it may seem obvious to all of us, maybe it's not to the average Joe and Jane, that the probability of the stock market going down is increasingly high. And it's getting higher and higher and higher, along with the probabilities of the Fed not only increasing rates, but doing quantitative tightening. So I think that's how I'd be setting up my portfolio for 2022. I'm never going to give you investment advice. I can just tell you what I'm doing or what I would do. And although you've got a huge negative carry on cash right now, I think a cash position makes sense for me. I don't know if it makes sense for you or not, but for me, it makes sense because the stuff that I want to buy with that cash, I think there's a strong probability that it gets a hell of a lot cheaper in 2022 if the Fed raises rates and starts quantitative tightening. We'll have to see how it plays out. You guys enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Always remember to stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.